Hi, this is Kay Hardy talking to August
Dakteris.
So can we start with how you actually got into circus? Was it by seeing No Fit State itself? Was that how you got interested?
Pretty much, yeah. It was... Well, I used to do stilt walking and fire performance and that kind of stuff, mainly around nightclubs. Was aware of the circus space in London and aware of circus. It was something I wanted to get into, but as a stilt walker and fire spinner, it's not really the skill set to get to any high level or get into a circus school. So I didn't quite know how that was ever going to realistically happen.
Hmm.
But after seeing... I was working at a pub in Greenwich at the time. So it was either 2007 or 2008, I can't remember. But No Fit State were performing Taboo at Victoria Park. So I remember having to get off work early in the end to sprint across London to go and see the show.
Mm.
And I was very happy that I did because it was amazing. I loved it, totally fell in love with the show, the world, a beautiful experience, and didn't want to leave at the end, surprisingly. I just hung about. I was one of the last ones in the tent, sort of asking the guys behind the bar, so how did you get involved, how did you get this job? I just instantly knew that I wanted to be part of that world, really.
Wow.
No Fit State's world,
right?
And
that was basically, was it the show, the style of the show, the performances? What was it that really attracted you then?
It was the whole. It was the energy, the eye contact from the performers. And I just felt like I was meant to be there. There was a couple of moments when I pushed to the front of the crowd to get a really good view and just felt justified in doing it because for some reason I knew that I was meant to be there and watching.
Wow, so it's quite spiritual, really, you know?
I guess it was, yeah. Okay. When I decide that I want to do something, I do get quite headstrong about it, so I think that was a part of it as well.
So how did you get then from being this, you know, suddenly finding a home to actually getting into doing anything?
So I was, talking to the people selling popcorn, the people behind the bar, like, how did you get involved? So you volunteer, so how did that happen? Like, who do I speak to? What do I do next? And ended up talking to Ali Williams, who's, as you know, one of the founders of the company. So I said to her, okay, this is my skill set. I do fire performance. I'm a stilt walker. What do I do next? I want to do circus. I want to do this. I see you take volunteers. How can I get involved?
And can you remember what she said then to
you? I think she had a bit of a sideways glancing look at me, and I can't remember exactly how it panned out after that. But yeah, I think she could see something in me and took my details, and I took hers and sent an email asking about volunteering and different things. And after that, I started to train in London. I started to go to evening classes at the circus space, doing conditioning and floor acrobatics, did a couple of aerial classes.
And was that something you were going to do anyway, or was that really as a result of seeing the show that you must do it?
It was kind of that point. It all kicked it off, and I said, okay, now's the time to do it, because I was 22 or 23, and it was kind of like now or never.
But you already had some skills, so you had the stilt walking and the fire.
Yeah.
So how did you learn that bit? You know, when was that from?
Well, I first started doing stilt walking when I was 11, I think. Yeah, doing carnivals in my hometown. Grew up in the Midlands, so Spalding, which is known as sort of the South Holland district. So we used to grow tulips there, and we'd have flower parades with decorated floats every year.
Sure.
And the day after that, when I was growing up, they used to do carnivals with all the local school kids. So we'd make costumes and then go on these processions, and I got involved with the group who organised that, centre stage, became a little bit more involved and did did stilt walking with them.
Mm.
And when I left school, I'd actually been given a job as an apprentice baker. So that was the route I was going to take. But then I saw an advert in a paper for nightclub entertainers. Top skill they listed was stilt walking. Well, I can do that. And that seems a bit more fun than being a baker for some reason at 16. So I ended up doing nightclub work, just stilt walking to start with, and then working with fire performers and slowly picking things up. I knew it was never going to be anything that I'd see in a big top, the skills that I had. It's peripheral entertainment, the stuff that I'd learned. So I didn't have too much of a foundation. I wasn't a dancer, I wasn't a gymnast, I hadn't been to any youth circus, I hadn't really done anything like that.
So you reached a point and you happened to come along to Taboo as well, and it all happened at the same time. You went, I really want to do this and I need to get more skills. I need to go and circus school it or something.
Yeah, yeah. I knew I wanted to get into a circus school. I knew that was the only way that I was going to get to any decent high skill level. I didn't want to be a hobbyist. If I was going to be an aerialist, I was going to be a professional aerialist and not just someone doing once a week class on a trapeze for a bit of fun and socialising.
So how long did it take you to realise that you really wanted to do the rope work as opposed to any of the other disciplines?
Well, that was originally I wanted to do tight wire in the very beginning. I wanted to do stilt walking on tight wire, and then went off at that idea when I think from seeing Taboo, really, like, thought, no, I want to be an aerialist, I want to do trapeze. And that was partly inspired by Natalia, the beautiful static trapeze artist that was just so, I don't know, just so watchable, so engaging, like, it's just a beautiful quality about her movements and her in the air. So wanted to do trapeze. So that's what I first trained on, was trapeze. But it wasn't really until I was in school that I chose straps, which is my discipline now. The first involvement that I had with No Fit State, once Ali, she contacted me about this, the Park Life project, what had become Park Life, that was the Inside Out Roundabout. So I was involved in the early stages of that, with very few skills, feeling very out of place, seeing all these people that had graduated from the circus school that I wanted to get into. Felt quite uncomfortable in myself, felt like I was blagging and was going to get caught out at any moment. So that was working with Orit, and Mish Weaver as well was working on the early days of the Park Life project. So that was the first thing that I got involved in.
No Fit State, how do you think they were like, knowing that you were just learning and things like that, how was the experience from that you were getting from them? Were they encouraging and supportive and that sort of thing?
Yeah, massively. So it wasn't even Park Life, it was the Burn Swindon project, which was the sort of precursor to Park Life. But I was involved just as a volunteer fire performer in that. So I was there with one of my close friends who I used to play fire with. We were literally just there. We bought our black vests and our black trousers from Primark once we'd got off the train in Swindon and turned up and saw all these really bubbly, high-energy people and all the groups of community people they were working with, but felt very welcomed, felt like we were there and people were letting us in with open arms, which was great, and it felt just amazing to be part of it. Still at that point wasn't quite sure where I was going to go with it, or how far it would actually take me on this journey. So it was after doing that, it was quite a while before I heard back from Ali about the volunteering on the tour, on the tour of Taboo. And I was trying to go my own route to getting into the circus space, what is now the National Centre for Circus Arts. So I just kept hanging around the circus space quite a lot and just grilling people that got onto the course. So what are the auditions like? What exactly do you do in the auditions? What are they looking for? What level do they take people in on? And yeah, there was a guy called Craig Reed who was a graduated as a hula hooper from there, who gave me quite a few good bits of advice. But they said flexibility, movement quality, some theatre stuff. They want you to have a level of ability in some circus discipline. So pick one and they're going to want an audition from you. So they want to see a base level or a good level at something. So that's when I started doing some trapeze classes as well. But I was mainly just trying to get strong, get like carve a proper circus body so that I was ready for anything, which resulted in me getting quite big and strong, which in the end transferred itself very well to straps. But it wasn't until it was only a few months before the audition really that No Fit State, that Ali sent me an email asking me if I still wanted to come away on tour. Mm-hmm. And volunteer. So I said to her at the time, yes, but I have to get into the circus space this year, so I have to put together an audition piece, and I'm working on that in London at the moment. So I only really want to come on tour if I know that there's going to be enough time and the possibility of me working on an act while I'm volunteering and create my audition piece. And Paul Evans was working as a steward on Taboo at the time, who is a static trapeze artist who now works, he's more working as a director, or circus director, because he's injured. But yeah, so he was working on the tour and had been doing trapeze for a long time. He was an ex-gymnast as well, so he pretty much became my trainer, and he was so generous with his time. Thinking back now, it's amazing how generous he was with his time. We were doing a couple of hours every day, really, and yeah, he pushed me. I'd done two trapeze classes in London. I'd done one class when I got there and just watched every trapeze artist in the room and just sat there like a sponge trying to absorb everything that I possibly could, so that when I came to actually get in the air, I knew exactly what they were asking me to do. So I managed to like learn a hell of a lot of tricks in two classes, partly because I made myself strong enough. Yeah, I put my audition piece together while I was volunteering, and then it was actually in between two stands I went back to London to go and do the audition and perform my audition piece, and then came back on tour. So it was the last stand that I was doing was in Avignon. So I think that must have been 2009. Yeah. So I got back and I didn't know whether I was going to be on the course or not. I eventually found out that I'd been put on the waiting list, so I hadn't been offered a place outright. But they, if people dropped out, then I would get a place. It wasn't until they contacted me and offered me a place. That was while I was in Avignon with the still volunteering. So that was a good day, finding out that I'd got into the circus space and I was going to be able to start training hardcore.
So did that take up, you then went and did that for a year or two?
3 years. So it's the degree program at the circus space, so 3 years full time.
And did you over that time keep in touch with No Fit State in any way?
Yeah. In my holidays I was Ali was getting me in working on the Park Life project, and I think in 2010 I did promo for Taboo in Edinburgh, so I was putting all the banners and the posters and stuff up, and I ended up there were some guys from Soap, Michael Lamphere, who trained straps, and he needed a venue to train, so he was actually training in the No Fit State tent.
From soap?
Another circus show.
Right.
Yeah, so he was... Yeah, and he for me then, he was a very high-level scraps artist who was training in our tent, so I managed to get some classes with him as well while I was there, which was great for me. But yeah, most of my holidays were taken up by volunteering with No Fit State while I was at school.
Right.
Yeah, and I think after I'd been doing straps for about 4 months or something properly, I ended up performing straps in Parklife. Yeah, Brighton was one of the best Parklife gigs for me. That was just it all just seemed to start happening so fast. Like I was performing straps in front of 8,000 people at Brighton on the level where we'd got the tent set up there.
So like your dreams of things.
Pretty much, yeah. It still wasn't the tent show, which I still wasn't. I knew that I wasn't good enough. I think most performers always think they're not good enough, which is part of what makes people get better and better and better. But yeah, so I definitely kept in touch. I was involved a lot, as much as I could be.
So what was the next step? Did you then qualify and then start looking for a job and then something came up?
So I was graduating in 2012. And a few months before I did, I heard that... Or I was contacted by No Fit State. They were looking for, they were looking for a new performer. I think they were looking for a stallion. They were saying they wanted a big strong guy in the show, and yeah. So they contacted me and asked if I wanted to come along for the audition. So I did. So that was for the first year of Bianco, which was at the Eden Project. So the second year of the Eden Project.